This morning's scripture comes from Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 17. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor I was taught it. Rather, I received it by a revelation from Jesus Christ. If you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the Church of God and tried to destroy it, I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus. This is the word of the Lord for us.
That speaks.
For some people, life is an endless cycle of people-pleasing. It's an endless pursuit of, I want people to admire me for my beauty, or for my intellect, or for my accomplishments, for my ingenuity, for my piety. The list goes on and on and on and on. For some people, life is an endless cycle of people-pleasing. And I want to say very clearly this morning that that is a worthless pursuit. That it leaves you dissatisfied, either because that those accolades haven't yet come and you're still pursuing them, or you're simply trapped by the facade that those things are meaningful, that the opinions and the love and praise and applause of humans is something that will fulfill you. And so I'd like to encourage us this morning that we need to break free of that cycle, that we need to steer clear of that. We need to realize and recognize this morning, based on the Word of God, that people-pleasing is this endless pursuit. Instead, we should be driven really by one thing and one thing only, and that is pleasing God, bringing glory, bringing honor, pointing others to the living God, the Almighty God. There's a famous quote from Abraham Lincoln. He said, you can please some of the people all the time. You can please all the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. Which helps us to realize the absurdity of people-pleasing. That it's an impossibility. That you cannot please all the people all the time. And I just think about the culture that we find ourselves in. Like, it's a culture that obsesses with likes and clicks and followers. And the number of people who have given the endorsement or the approval or the thumbs up. Like, we live in this culture that craves approval. Do you like me? Do you love me? Are you for me? We find ourselves in this people-pleasing environment. So again, I'm encouraging us this morning. We need to break free of that and live with the purpose, the singular purpose of pleasing God. So we heard this clearly from the scripture reading a moment ago. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 1 today. I want us to look again there at verse 10 because Paul says it very clearly. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. It has echoes of the words of our Lord Jesus when he said, you cannot serve two masters. So we have this very clear teaching from the Apostle Paul. If you're going to go the people-pleasing route, then why be a servant of Jesus? Listen, guys, following Jesus is never going to be popular. No matter what culture you're in, no matter what context you're in, and I don't even care how Christianized your culture might be, following him in radical obedience, saying, come what may, I'm going to, by the grace of God and power of God, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, live for him. That's never going to be cool. It's never going to be popular. And so we've got to resolve right at the onset, I'm really not going to care what people think. When it comes to my walk with Christ and the life of faith that he has called me to live, I don't really care if people approve of that or disapprove of that. Now, of course, we will be influenced in a good way by people in our lives. In fact, that's something we talk about a lot here at MCA, and we stress this, and it's important. The concept of community, accountability, relationship, friendship. And so this is not a sermon to say, go off rogue in isolation, ignore godly counsel. No, absolutely not. Like there is a time and a place for that. In fact, in this sermon series, we have one Sunday designated for that from the teaching from Galatians. I want to be clear on that. God uses people in our lives to sharpen us and to encourage us, to correct us, to teach us. Absolutely. We submit one to another. So this morning's sermon is not to say, don't let anyone tell you what to do. We submit to one another and to godly counsel, spiritual authority, all of those things, absolutely. God uses people to show us how to follow Christ. But this morning, what I want to guard against and encourage us with is, what are we pursuing? And is it that feel-good pat on the back from the masses, from the human perspective, or is it a heart and life devoted to Christ and to bringing him glory? That's what we're going to talk about together this morning. So let me introduce myself. I am John, and I am thrilled that you're with us today. What a joy it is to be together. Sunday's my favorite day. Like I really can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be. And I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow even stronger in the Lord Jesus. So how exciting. We're kicking off a brand new sermon series this morning. I forgot to mention it last week. I normally try to do that. So that was just a slip of the brain. But we have 4 weeks here that we're going to cover four messages from the book of Galatians. It's not going to be an exhaustive study. We can't go through every single verse in the book. But we're going to spend 4 weeks looking at specifically the teaching of freedom in the book of Galatians. So we're going to see four ways that God offers us freedom that Paul teaches in this particular book before we get into the Christmas season. So we're going to be in the book of Galatians. I'll just share a little bit that this obviously was a letter, so it was one of the New Testament epistles, written by the Apostle Paul. He had founded the church in that region of Galatia. Of course, Paul, we understand, he was a missionary who took the gospel to the Gentiles, so these would have been a Gentile group of people, non-Jewish people. And what he did then was he wrote letters to those churches to encourage them, to correct them, whatever they needed. And so this particular area, Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, by the way, they had some Jewish believers who moved into the community. So they're Gentiles. They've received the gospel. They now have churches. But we have Jewish believers who move into their region, and they brought with them a heavy yoke. They brought with them, well, we might say baggage. they start working with and talking with and fellowshipping with and worshiping with these Gentile believers in Galatia. But they start saying, wait a minute, you guys aren't following our Mosaic law. They start saying, wait a minute, you're not circumcised? They go, I mean, you can't be saved unless you're circumcised. And the Gentile believer's like, oh, really? Yeah, you can't eat those foods. You have to dress a certain way. You have to follow our customs and our rituals. You have to look on the outside like we do. And so Paul has a really strong reaction against that. That's what we're going to find in today's text and throughout this epistle as we read it, that he has really an opposition, and he calls this false teaching. Like you cannot say to these people that it's the gospel of Jesus saved by believing plus these other things, this heavy yoke that you are adding on them. Paul makes clear, and you see this really throughout this short letter, this epistle, freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom in Christ. We are not bound by the law. We are no longer under the curse of sin. Christ has set us free. And so I do hope that you brought a Bible with you this morning. If so, open it up to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. We will start our study there, and starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll stop there. That's Paul's way of saying, like, dear, you know, when you write a letter and you do the dear John, like, that's his dear John. And you notice there, like, right at the start, right in the hello churches in Galatia, he's emphasizing the gospel. Like, he is starting this letter with, hey, it's me, Paul, and I'm writing a letter, and by the way, remember, Jesus gave himself for our sins to rescue us. Like, he goes right into that. Christ offered himself on our behalf. Why? Because we are sinners who are in need of grace. And really, again, just a bigger view look at the entirety of the book of Galatians shows us that this is a ringing declaration of the gospel. Galatians is a book that emphasizes salvation and freedom. It is God's free gift to those who believe. Also, I've noticed as I study this book, it has a lot of passion in it. Galatians is a book where we see Paul and his writing here as very direct, very blunt, very sort of emotion-fueled. In fact, we see it in the next verse. So we're in Galatians chapter 1, we're at verse 6. I'm astonished, he writes. Astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. They're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. I mean, when I say it's filled with passion, with emotion, I hope you hear that. And sometimes when we read the Bible, we like to really make it kind of toned down and vanilla, and like it's all just like really kind and sweet and happy. I think this epistle really kind of screams. It screams, what are you doing? And it might seem overblown. You go like, whoa, what's the big reaction here? Couldn't he have said, hey, I want to just address something, knock it off with all the Judaism stuff? No, it's not overblown. It's not overstated, and I'll tell you why. Because Paul knows what's at stake. Paul knows that this group of people to whom he went with the gospel, and it took root. It found that good soil in their hearts, and they chose to believe, and the churches are growing and flourishing and expanding. He knows that there is now a seed of corruption that has come in there. And it's not the pure gospel. It's not the truth of Jesus saving those who believe. It's this Jesus plus teaching. He knows what's at stake. And I think we should too. The importance of the purity of the gospel. I mean, it's a big deal. There are massive eternal consequences. And so what I'm talking about is like the person of Jesus. The recognition of ourselves as sinners who need to be saved by the grace of God through faith, the hope we have of heaven. Like, we've got to get that right. So there are a lot of things we can disagree on. There are a lot of things that we can say, oh, my interpretation of this passage is this. My theology is this. My conviction is that. Lots of things that we can discuss. Big camps and groups of people who view things differently. And we say, you know what? It's fine that you view it that way. I view it differently. When it comes to salvation, we've got to get it right. When it comes to the gospel and the purity of the gospel. And that's what's at stake for these churches in Galatia. And I think that's why it's an epistle filled with emotion, where he just launches into, I am astonished at you people, how quickly you've deserted what I taught you, this simple truth of the gospel. So Paul is making it really clear, like, to have any version of the gospel that omits the simplicity of the sacrifice of Jesus for the remission of sins. Like, any gospel that adds in, well, there's got to be a little bit of human effort. Well, there's got to be you doing this. Well, you certainly have to look like that. It encumbers people. And that's exactly what's happening here, these poor Gentile believers in Galatia, with something other than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, lots of things we can view differently. Salvation is not one of them. One of the most important questions someone might ask, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? We see this question posed by the jailer in Acts chapter 16. I think it was this year we went through 7 sermons in the book of Acts, the early church. What were the things the early church was preaching and proclaiming? This was one of them. The jailer says very clearly in Acts chapter 16, what must I do in order to be saved? Like, what is it that's on me? What do I have to do? And here's the response from Acts 16 and verse 31. Very clearly, this comes from Paul and Silas. Believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus, they say, and you'll be saved. Maybe there was a long, awkward silence after their response too. The jailer going, and what else? What else do I have to do? But I think throughout history, and certainly today, everyone starts to develop their own system of religion or connection to God that is that heavy yoke that encumbers us. It seems like everyone also has their own idea of what's right, what's wrong, what's ethical versus unethical, what's immoral versus, like, what is the right thing to do? Do the right thing. You could talk with people the globe over about that. Do the right thing. And every single person has a different response to that. If we're not careful, we will start to formulate opinions and ideas, and yes, theology, based on what other people say. What other people think, a convincing argument that says, yeah, that really makes sense. Why that's not really wrong. It's not really causing harm to anyone. But our standard is the Bible. And that's a key point that I want to make for us this morning as we study Galatians chapter 1. We have a standard. It's the written word of God. And that's why Paul tells these Galatian Christians that this Jesus plus teaching is no gospel at all. You want to know the truth? Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That's the truth. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It isn't Jesus plus baptism. And sometimes these go unsaid. These are just non-stated. This wrong thinking of, you can't be saved. You're not going to spend eternity in the presence of God unless you've been water baptized. It's not Jesus plus baptism. It's not Jesus plus church attendance, or Jesus plus tithing, or Jesus plus fasting, or Jesus plus doing lots of really good things, like being a godly person, a pious person, a righteous person, a person that people admire and look up to. Nope, here's what the scripture says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? When it comes to salvation, we got to get it right. And for the fourth and fifth graders that are here with us today, I think they can understand this too. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's our part. That's our response. See, God does the rest. Our part is faith, a belief in who he is and in what he has said he will do. And our standard is the Bible. This is what the Bible teaches about the gospel. This is what Paul clarifies for the church in Galatia. And I think this is an important message for us today. We live in a culture that's been called many times post-Christian. Like, we did that, we tried that, we have some understanding of that as a historical basis, but we're beyond that. And really, you don't have to go very far to find that sort of thinking. It's very prevalent. Like, the Bible, it's kind of outdated, it's kind of irrelevant, it's kind of archaic. And like adhering to it and following it and looking for the message and the truth that's in it, like that's something that is gone and not needed anymore. Like, we are smarter than that now. We're more enlightened than that now. But I think this message where we say, man, our standard is the Bible, is so important that we recognize the scriptures say God's word is living and active. Like, it is relevant. It is for us today. It's the story of God at work in the world. And no, it's not just some list of do's and don'ts. The Bible isn't this list of you can't do that, and we begrudgingly say, well, I really wish I could do that. I really wish I could enjoy those pleasures and sins, but God says I can't. That's not the heart of God, and certainly not revealed in Scripture. God's word is a story of redemption. It's a story of how God set aside a people in order to bring forth a Savior so that all people, every single person who trusts in him, who puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, can have life and life eternal. The scripture reveals to us God's love, God's faithfulness, God's wisdom. The scriptures give us hope. And yes, the Bible offers us principles for living and for life. Living under the lordship of Jesus. And so, we're not saved through baptism. We're not saved through tithing or fasting. Does that mean we don't do those things? No, we do those things. You see, it's just clarifying that's not a salvation issue. That's more of what I would say is a sanctification issue. Like, as God is working in your life, as you give lordship to him, those are the ways you start to walk in. Those are the habits you start to develop. Those are the choices you make. So the Bible does teach us how to live under the lordship of Jesus. It teaches us how to pray, how to understand God's master plan of salvation, how to understand my own purpose in life, the mission that God has for me, to understand very clearly that salvation has come to me and my house simply through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yes, that's why we study the Word of God. That's something we really like to do as a church family, isn't it? We like to open the Word of God. We like to study it. We like to hear it proclaimed. We like to ask questions of it and discuss it. And Lord, help us to apply it and to live it. Yes, friends, listen. The Word of God is the authority in our lives. And so we treasure it. We cherish it. Without the Scriptures, we would be then left to just simply devise on our own what's right. What's wrong? How can I be saved? I don't think we want to see a world where that happens. I think we see glimpses of a world where that happens. And I think that's why we see it so evil and broken and messed up. Without the Word of God, we would have a really hard time prioritizing our lives. We'd struggle even more with our relationships, with marriages, with parenting, with finances. Again, the Word of God instructs us. These are the words of life. And so, these aren't the rules that we must follow in order to get approval from God. The Scripture is clear on salvation through believing in the Lord Jesus. But Paul is making it clear to these churches in Galatia, there is an authority and a standard, and it is indeed the Bible. I think Paul also fully understood, like, if we're living for the approval of other people, if we're pursuing that accolade and those clicks and likes and followers, we're going to go astray. And so he's urging these believers in Galatia to stand on God's word as true. Stand on the authority of Scripture. He says something very similar in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I do want to just look there at a few verses where he says, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We're not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. We're not looking for praise from people. And so again, what a great challenge for you and for me. Will I live for the applause of people or the approval of God? And we saw it very clearly, his teaching back in Galatians chapter 1 in verse 10. Am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? I mean, if I were to still try to please people, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Let's keep reading there. So Galatians chapter 1, we're at verse 11. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. This is a word that comes from the Lord. Our standard is the Bible, and our priority is Christ. This is what Paul is teaching. That the standard is the Bible, and the authority, our priority, rather, is Christ. I think it's appropriate for us to say, life is really a series of choices, isn't it? Life is a series of choices. We decide. And those decisions shape the course of our lives. What am I going to believe? Where am I going to live? What school am I going to attend? Which person am I going to marry? What job am I going to pursue? What hobbies do I find interesting and appealing? How am I going to use my money? Am I going to root for the Browns or not? Life is a series of choices. And woven into and throughout all of those choices for the life of the believer should be the priority. Does this please God? Like, how do you make those decisions? If you're living under the lordship of Jesus, if you've been transformed by this good news of salvation, because I believe, then as we make those decisions, our priorities are clear. Christ, Christ's kingdom, that it's infused into all of those decisions that we make. Will I glorify God in all I say, in all I think, in all I do? We know what Paul says to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Like, that's the heart behind this. As Christ is our priority, Lord, how can I bring you glory? How can I bring you honor? And yes, friends, sometimes that means you make decisions that other people don't understand, that other people mock, that other people attack and tear down and tease and poke fun at. But are we living for the approval of people, the applause of people? Or will our heart be, whatever I do, I'm doing it for the glory of God? And listen, I want to put one little caveat in here. So if you're tracking with me this morning, and you know this very simple message from Galatians 1, which is don't be a people pleaser, One little caveat is to say, I don't want to take this and run so far that I am mean and unkind to the people that I encounter. I don't want to take on this bravado that says, I'm not a people pleaser. And that is sort of this sick, twisted way of saying, I can just be like mean-spirited. I can say hurtful things and get away with it and spiritualize it. So I just want to caution against that. I think when Christ is your priority, you do love others in all of your words and actions and deeds. And so in no way do I want you to leave this morning with this bravado, this machismo that says, I heard this morning that I'm not supposed to be a people pleaser, and so get out the way. Because I don't care about you, and I don't care what you think. Like, I don't think that's the heart of Jesus. He calls us to look not only to our own interests. Well, this is another teaching of Paul, isn't it, in Philippians chapter 2. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And so I just want to give that word of caution to say, this is not license for us to be unkind or to be mean-spirited. This is an encouragement to say, what do you care more about? Do you care more about what God thinks, or do you care more about what people think? And in the presence of God, under the teaching of the Word of God today, I want to encourage us to say, Lord, help me to care more about what you think. Because some of us need to hear this today. Like, stop caring so much about what people think. Stop making decisions that you know aren't what is God's best, but it's because, well, what will people say? What will people think? What will people do? I think when you choose, I'm going to live with Christ as my priority, my life is just bent on, I'm on mission to bring glory and honor to God, you choose obedience. You choose to just simply walk by faith in the life that he has given you. And yes, my friends, you reap the rewards of doing so. The rewards of walking in obedience to the Lord. And so, one very practical application. This is just a two-point sermon, by the way. So we've already covered the 2 points. By way of application would simply be, before we make a decision, before we choose something, to say, Lord, would this bring you honor and glory? Lord, would you have me do this for the furtherance of your kingdom, for the honor of your name? I think the way to be free of people-pleasing is not just to say, I'm not going to care what people think. I'm not going to care what people think. It's to live with this singular, uncompromising devotion. I'm going to be obedient to Christ. He is my priority. I will say, I heard a really bad example of this past week. On a podcast, and a person shared when they are ending a subscription or a service, they lie and they say, well, I've just lost my job and my funds are running out, and so that's why I need to cancel this subscription. Like rather than explaining, here's why the service is dissatisfactory, here's why I no longer want this, they lie. And this is actually on a Christian podcast. Now, fortunately, there were others on the podcast who were like, wait a minute, you just lie? And there was this very flippant response of, well, I know God will forgive me. That's the wrong priority. And maybe you've fallen into that in some areas of your life. I'll just tell a little lie. It's going to be way easier. Like, it's not going to hurt their feelings. I think what that reveals is you care more about what people think than what God thinks. Because God makes it clear in his word, we're not to bear false testimony. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We're people of the truth. And so what we say should be truthful. And so to willingly, knowingly say, you know what, when I have to cancel that subscription, I just tell him I lost my job. I think that just goes defiantly in the face of God. That saddens me. That hurts. And I want to caution us against that. I can just imagine Paul catching wind of things like that happening in Galatia and saying, I am astonished that you would lie to get out of a subscription. Tell them why you don't want the service. Tell them the truth. Don't care more about them than you do Almighty God. Walk in radical obedience. And really, this gets to the heart of something Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 10. If we look at verse 28 together, Jesus says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, there is only one opinion that counts, and it's God's. Only one opinion that truly matters. Christ and Christ's kingdom should be, must be, and Lord, help us that it will be the authority and the priority in our lives. Do what's right according to the standards of the Bible, no matter where you are, no matter who's watching. Because listen, that's what your family needs. That's what your spouse needs. That's what your children need. That's what your grandchildren need. That's what your workplace needs. Is people who say, Christ is my priority, and I'm living out the life that he has for me. Christ is the main priority. Another scripture I want to share with us, the wisdom of Proverbs. It's 29, 20, verse 25. It says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. People-pleasing is a trap. It's an absolute trap. You get obsessed with what people think, and in so doing, you start to discount or even totally forget or abandon what does God think. It's a trap that ensnares you. The Hebrew word used there is like a noose or a snare or even a hook that's used for animals. You got them hooked, and you can lead them where you want them to go. People-pleasing is really idolatry, because it's valuing something higher than the Lord, and that's the opinions of other people. And we know what the scriptures say. God is a jealous God. He invites us to follow him, and he says, you can't serve anyone else. It's got to be me only. He alone must sit on the throne of our hearts. But here's the good news this morning, and we see this very clearly from Galatians chapter 1. There is freedom in Christ. So we can be free from all of this snare and trap of people-pleasing. Whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. And listen, on our own, we can't please God. You go, well, you just built up this whole sermon to say we should please God, please God, please God. And now you say you can't please God? Nope. Because even if we try our hardest to do what's right, to be good, to walk in obedience. Like, I want to be a person who lives with integrity, and we should do those things. But even if we try to do those things with all of our might, we fall short. I fail. Because of my selfishness, because of my sin. The same is true for you. Because we all have this same predicament. We're all flawed. We're all sinners. We make mistakes, we do wrong. We do pursue the applause of people. We do pursue our own glory rather than God's. And so based on that sinful condition, I'm not worthy to be a part of God's kingdom. But there's a solution. Oh, what good news. Jesus makes us worthy by forgiving us of those sins, by redeeming us. And he invites each and every person. Each and every one created in the image of God is invited into relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in him, you're transformed. You go from the darkness into the light. And it's then, as we talked about a few minutes ago, it's then that you start that process of sanctification and you choose to walk in his ways. And by the Holy Spirit, he empowers you to live for him and to keep him as your priority. But you're still going to stumble and fall. And when you do, he restores you. He forgives you again. And so maybe you're here this morning and this rings true for you. I've really tried to be a good person. I really tried to overcome that issue, and yet it's really just failing over and over and over and over again. And I'd like to encourage you this morning to break free of that cycle as well. Because what that reveals is you're depending on yourself. Your part is, will you believe in the Lord Jesus? Let him do the rest. Trust him completely and entirely. Fall with humility upon his great throne of mercy, declaring your need of him. Like, we're never going to be perfect this side of eternity. But he restores us. He forgives us. So it's time to put our trust completely and entirely in Jesus. If you want to do that for the first time today, I would love to meet up with you after the service and pray with you. If you want to do that again today, same thing. Our prayer team will be available. I will be available. We'd be honored to go with you before God's throne of grace to say it's time to stop that cycle of trying harder and failing again, trying harder and failing again. It's time to say, Jesus, you are the victor. And I'm going to put my complete trust in you. And God is going to give you a new heart and a new mind. He's going to fill you with his Holy Spirit and allow you to live out that life where your singular purpose is to bring honor and glory to him. Our identity is in Christ. The hope we have of freedom is only in Christ. In the world, the unbelieving world, they don't get this. In fact, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So friends, let's pursue the heart of Christ. The life with Jesus, it's abundant, it's free, and it lasts forever. And so I pray today that you would find that validation, that approval in the only place that it truly matters, from God, our Heavenly Father's. Because when we trust in him, we're kept safe. We're set free from this trap of people-pleasing. And we're then free to follow where he leads, radically and wholeheartedly, for his glory. Let's pray together. Lord, how thankful we are for the teaching of your word. For the Apostle Paul and his willingness to write this epistle to the churches in Galatia. To say, don't abandon the simple truth of the gospel. Don't fall into the trap, to the lie, to the snare of Jesus plus teaching and theology. It's no gospel at all. And don't be encumbered by these false teachings that are based only on what people will approve of, but live in singular devotion to Christ. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us to do that. That we are yours, O God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus and set free from the tyranny of sin. So Lord, with soft hearts before you, we choose again today, Jesus, be our Savior. Jesus, be our Master and our Lord. We've done a really poor job of leading ourselves, God. I make a really lousy Savior. And I need you, oh God. So Lord, thank you that you are faithful, that you restore us when we've fallen, that you have a good plan and purpose for each one. And now, Lord, seal these things in our hearts and minds, that they wouldn't be ideas we hear, but they would be truths that we live. The reality of a God who so fiercely loves us that he gave his only son. Thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you've done for us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for purchasing us with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us, O God. With open hands, Lord, we say to you, yes. Yes to all that you have in store. We will follow where you lead. We will walk by faith and not by sight. And we will give all the glory to you, O God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.